so important for leaders to keep that. It's like, it's on them to remind people, like, right, I am. And then, and I think being honest about our sin and our shortcomings helps people get a real grasp of that. Like, oh yeah, this guy isn't worthy of worship because he has sin in his life. And
yeah,
that helps keep that balance there.
Welcome to the Nate Morris Podcast. This is your host, Pastor Nate Morris. And we are today picking up a conversation from last week, talking about the Ravi Zacharias scandal and what happens when leaders fall and what our role is in that and how we should respond to those things. So I hope you'll be blessed by the conversation today. If you currently follow us on your podcasting platform, if you would do me a favor and just rate us on that, that would be a blessing just to have that on there. Also, you can follow me on social media. And also my website, PastorNate.com, as Pastor N and then the number 8.com. Would love to connect with you through those places. And so we're just going to pick up right where we left off last week. But I think the thing is that we are so in our sin, we're so afraid of the light. Mm. You said it's everything will come to light, right? Absolutely. Everything comes to light in the end. But we're so afraid of the light and bringing our sin into the light. And I think that this is what causes these types of things. This is why we spiral out of control, but this is also why, like, so many people don't experience the fullness of God's love and grace for them. I mean, 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it talks about this. It talks about walking in the light as Jesus in the light is in the light. Now, it's interesting because when you're reading through this, you could feel like this is saying that you need to be the light and you need to live in like rightly and not sin. But that's not what this is talking about, actually. I'm just going to read it here for us, just a little bit of context. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says this. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." And then it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So there's a couple things there. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, but then we're walking in darkness, we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. The first time I read this, I took verse 7 where it says, "But if we walk in the light as he's in the light," I took that as walking holy. But that's not what this is talking about, because he goes on in verse 8 and says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." And I think this is the thing. So we think of walking in the light as being holy, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about bringing ourselves to him fully and wholly, admitting that we're sinners.
It's honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Admitting that we're sinners and saying, okay, I'm pulling all of me and I'm throwing it all out in the light. If Ravi had thrown all of his stuff out into the light, yeah, he would have lost his job by the point. But at some point back further, when he started with just a thought of, oh, I'm in this massage parlor, I could ask for something extra. I mean, like, if instead of asking that question, if he had just said, oh, I had that thought and I didn't act on it, if he had gone to his board members or guys that he could trust and said, man, I had this thought, I was in this massage place and this is what went through my mind, I need healing for this.
Yeah.
That brings into the light and suddenly there's healing for that and restoration, but he chose to walk in the darkness and ultimately it led him down. And I think that's, you know, the light is that cleansing source. And we talked about this at church a little while ago, like one of the best disinfectants for water is just putting, and this is what's practiced by billions of people around the world that don't have water filters. You put water in a water bottle and you leave it in direct sunlight for 6 hours and it purifies it and it cleanses it. And I think it's so important that we're honest and
That's, you know, doing men's ministry over the years, you know, this word accountability is thrown around a lot and, you know, you need guys around who will hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it doesn't work.
Right.
Unless you want to be accountable. And I know there when I was pastoring the church in Louisiana, there were a couple times some things happened where nobody would have ever known about it had I not brought it to light, you know, like, and I won't share the details of it, but I called my board members who were actually in California at the time, and I told them immediately what had happened, and I hadn't sinned or done anything, but like you said, that there was a, there was an opportunity. And I shared that with them, and it brought it into the light. It dissolved it. It made it go away right away. But that's the reality. It's like, we're only going to be as accountable as we're willing to be. And so that's on us to make ourselves accountable and bring accountability into our life. Other people can't hold us accountable, no matter what kind of boundaries we set up and systems that we set up. We'll find a way around it.
Yeah. And that's that, I think that accountability word, I agree with you. And I've talked about that before, as I think that that becomes a legalistic standard, right? And it becomes a legalistic, oh, I got to hold you to this standard. I got to hold your feet to the fire. And it's a dangerous thing, because I think what happens when we set that accountability standard is we do what you talked about earlier, and we create things that God didn't set up.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, well, if I'm not going to go, you know, to point B, I've got to not touch point A. And then you start to touch point A, and then you already feel guilty, even though you didn't sin by God's standard. You sinned in your mind, because you're not walking by faith. You've done something that you felt was wrong, and now it's just suddenly a step further and you're there. And I think that's that, like you said, just bringing it to the light and just saying, okay, this is where I'm at. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. If I say that I have no sin, I'm a liar, right? That's just the reality. And the whole point of this 1 John chapter 1, you know, is that basically he's saying, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says, you know, if we walk in the light, if we essentially bring our whole self into the light and admit that we're not all right, then we have fellowship with one another, it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. That fellowship between us, that is accountability, but it's the best kind of accountability, because it's like, going back to the instance of Ravi, if Ravi had gone to somebody he could trust, which maybe he just didn't feel like he had anybody, but if he had gone and said, I had this thought, or I kind of started to do this thing, or I clicked on this website, or I did that or whatever, and got, you know, had somebody who was like, okay, yeah, that was not good. Let's find a way out of that. But here's the deal. God loves you. You're confessing your sin. He's faithful and just to cleanse you. Let's get you away from that and back towards the things of the Lord. And it could have been just like what you said, right in that moment, a shift of direction, but we cover it up. And so then it becomes the covered thing grows and it gets ugly and gets nasty. And so, I think that, I think that's such a huge part of it. And I think we've created that culture, really. I think we've done that because of what you talked about before, that we expect our leaders to be perfect and we expect them to not make mistakes.
I just was reading yesterday in my Bible reading about, was it Paul and Silas, that when they healed somebody and everybody started worshiping them as gods, and they immediately tore their clothes, you know, it's just like, no, you know, we're just guys, you know, who are following Jesus. And so important for leaders to keep that. It's like, it's on them to remind people, like, I am. And I think being honest about our sin and our shortcomings helps people get a real grasp of that. Like, oh yeah, this guy isn't worthy of worship because he has sin in his life. And, that helps keep that balance there.
Yeah. And I think it's also the other thing too, is if we as leaders aren't willing to be transparent with people, then the people aren't going to be willing to be transparent with each other as well.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the big things, you know, that we've seen, in church culture over time, and I don't know how long it goes back. It probably goes back all the way to the beginning, because we don't want to be judged. Right. But I think that people put on the church face, you know, you walk in the front door, you might've been fighting with your wife all the way up, you know, you're driving in the car, screaming and yelling at each other. The kids are yelling in the back seat and baby's crying. And then you get to the front door and it's like, all right, everybody put your church face on, you know,
get the mask,
you know, we gotta pretend like everything's okay. And you walk in and, you know, somebody asks you how it's going. And the first thing you say is, oh, it's okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not that it's in that moment that you should be bearing your soul to somebody necessarily. But I think that, there's a facade that we put up that makes it like, you know, everything's okay. I'm good. I don't need anybody else. And that's not what church is. Church is that we all need each other and we all need Jesus. And it's only together that we can bear one another's burdens, right? How do I know you're burdened unless you share it with me? And how can I help you carry that burden unless you're willing to say, hey, I've got a burden on my shoulders, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for listening in today. I hope you are enjoying the podcast. I want to just ask you to do a couple things. One, if you're enjoying this, could you rate us on your podcast platform? Follow it, share it with your friends. Also, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Would love to catch up with you. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at nate@mountainlife.church, nate@mountainlife.church. So with that, we're going to get back to our program here. I think it starts with leaders being transparent and honest and open and yet not celebrating the sin, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other side, because you do see churches where a leader just gets up and says, oh, I'm a sinner and I just whatever. And they start
proud of it.
Yeah. cussing in sermons and doing, you know, all kinds of stuff like that's not right either.
Right.
That's the other side. And I think that kind of leads me into just the, in this situation, like, so we talked about what sets up the failure of the leaders. We talked about how we all play into that. And we talked about bringing our stuff into the light. But I think that there is a very real element of the fact that that person in leadership that has sinned is hurting people, not just themselves and not even just the people that they sinned with or against directly. In Ravi's instance, it sounds like he actually committed multiple acts of sexual assault and at the very least sexual immorality, but it looks like sexual assault. And he actually treated people in ways that was injurious to them and horrific and really wrong. And so his sin is something that should not be glossed over. Now, is God's grace big enough to cover that? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that we say, he just fell. It's not a big deal. There are consequences, not just in his life, but in those women's lives. And also now in the lives of all the people who he has, you know, touched, and spoken to from a spiritual perspective over the years, they all are questioning whether what he had to say had any value at all. Which is sad, right? Cause there's that breakdown of what sin does. But I think that actually brings me to another point is does that sin discount the work that God did through him or the things that he said over the years? What do you think about that?
Yeah. And that will go back to the Apostle Paul on that again, that the truth is truth. And no matter what vessel it comes through, if it's truth, it remains true. And we see that in scripture numerous times where, you know, I'm trying to remember the example right now, but where people were preaching Christ to try and get Paul into more trouble. And he was like, I don't care what their motivation is. As long as they're preaching the truth of Christ, that's awesome.
Right.
And so truth is truth and it doesn't matter who it's coming through. And that's why Paul, I think he understood that. And that's why he said, man, I work hard to make sure I'm not going to miss out on the prize, you know, because I'm sharing with all these people and, you know, and they're going to receive this prize, the reward of salvation. And I don't want to miss out on it. And I can say for myself personally, for the early years, as I was a youth pastor, I was religious, but I wasn't really in a relationship with the Lord. And I had a lot of sin in my life. And I was sharing Jesus with these young people and they were getting radically saved. And it was watching them and their example and their passion for the Lord that actually really won my heart to the Lord. And so I can say personally, I've experienced that. So thankful that God called me out of that life and that really kind of a double life I was living in those days. And but these kids were getting saved, you know, because I was telling them the truth about Jesus. It was just, I was missing out, and I'm so glad I'm not anymore. But that, that is the reality is I think you can take, you know, Ravi shared a lot of truth, and the truth is right. Even though he was living a sinful lifestyle and wasn't living it out in his own, doesn't discount the truth of what he shared.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, that's a, another, you know, I think there's cancel culture is a big thing right now. Somebody said something wrong or did something wrong and cancel them and fire them and all that stuff. And honestly, when a Christian leader falls in this way, they should be removed from leadership. So this is not, I'm not saying that they should remain in their spot. There's a biblical standard that we are called to live up to. But I also think that there has been, you know, many times over the years when this happens, suddenly all that person's work that they've ever done is like removed from the bookshelf and as if it's like had no validity. And I think like for me, I think about that and I'm like, okay, well, yes, we don't want to celebrate that person. And you know, but like totally deleting them as if they didn't exist. That's not what God did, you know, in the Bible. I mean, you think about King David. I mean, there's an example right there of a guy, he was a man after God's own heart for a very long time, but later on in his life, just to put it in today's terms, he saw a lady that he wanted and he chose to have an affair with her as she got pregnant. And then when he found out about it, he has her, had her husband killed to cover it up.
Yep.
And yet, even after that point in his life, God used him and redeemed him. And there was a, there's a great redemption story there and forgiveness and repentance. But God didn't cover that up as if it didn't happen. And I think that to me goes back a little bit to the thought that we hold our leaders on a pedestal and we say, you know, well, they have to live this perfect life. And suddenly if we realize that they aren't, then it's like, well, all that they said was not true. And I think that that's a dangerous place to be too, because it really says that we are reading way more into what people say than we should be. We're not treating them as Bereans. We're treating them as if they're giving us scripture, really, which is not, I mean, like anything that Ravi Zacharias said, he said some great things, but I never equated him with Jesus in my mind.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the foundation for our lives, the rock, the solid rock is to be the teachings of Jesus Christ, not the teachings of Ravi Zacharias or anybody else.
Yeah. And I think that's the challenge is that like, it's like, okay, well, we'll just discount everything that that leader did. But the reality is like, I take everything that I read with a grain of salt. And if I'm taking it truly as if that is just God's solid truth, then I'm actually in the wrong in that. And, you know, I need to be more discerning than that. And so I think, you know, not that I'm saying we should go and celebrate people's works who have stumbled into whatever, but I don't think that it invalidates some of the things that have been said or taught. Even, I mean, you said even the friend of yours that read a book or something about purity, right? And he was blessed by it, but then finding out that he was doing these things behind the scenes, it's horrible. And it makes you question and it makes you think, but the reality is it doesn't change the truth of what he said.
Yes. And I think that that's a great point is that anything, the greatest mind and the greatest teacher, you still have to weigh against the words of God. And if we're being, as you said, Bereans and testing everything against the word of God, then we'll be safe, you know, because then we'll understand anything true that Ravi Zacharias or anybody else says isn't really coming from Ravi Zacharias. It's coming from God. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking through them to us because God cares about us. Even though Ravi was living this double life and hurting people, you know, God still wanted people to be ministered to and used Ravi to do that.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds, you know, because God cares about people and he wants people to know truth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing kind of along the same lines is when this happens, often many people's faith can be shaken by mm-hmm. something like this. Whether it's Ravi Zacharias or, I mean, he was a great Christian apologist, and he wrote and he spoke and traveled and stuff. But I think probably there's other people that may have had more impact specifically in people's lives. I think of pastors that have fallen. Carl Lentz is a good example. Earlier this year, it was found out that he had an extramarital affair that had been going on for a while. But he was a very influential pastor in charismatic circles for a long time. And many people would say that their lives were changed through his ministry. And what happens a lot of times is that person, when they fall, suddenly people's faith gets shaken, right. And they start to question whether God is real or what those people said was real or all of those things, because of that. And I think, you know, it makes me think of, I don't know who the quote came from, but if our faith has been shaken, it may suggest that our faith has been misplaced.
Yeah, that's great.
And, I think that's the problem. It's like, if my faith is shaken by seeing a person, a human fall into sin, then my faith is in the wrong things.
Yeah,
right.
That's great. Yeah.
And so really like our faith needs to be in Jesus and the life-changing power of Jesus and the love of Jesus. And you know, for me, I learned a long time ago, to keep my expectations of people low, just because if I have a low expectation of people and they meet my expectation, then I feel good about them. If I have a high expectation of a person and they fail to meet it, then I'm like, ah, you failed my expectation. Right. Right.
That's great to know. It's since you're my boss.
Right. I actually had a little higher expectations for you, Paul. You've done this longer than me, but I think just kind of like, not a low hope. I wouldn't put it that way. Right. Not a low hope or desire, but really like I'm not surprised when some of this stuff happens, for me, it's not surprising. It was a little surprising with Ravi because of the character that I thought he had, but even that it's not surprising. And my faith isn't shaken because my faith wasn't in him. You know, my faith is in the Lord, who redeems people even like that.
Well, there's, there's been a number of guys that I've really respected and appreciated their ministry from afar, and then had an opportunity to meet them in person and become disappointed when I meet them in person and like, wow, they're different than what I expected them to be.
Right.
And it's been a blessing in the sense that I start to realize, like, you know, they're just guys.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, the Lord's using them, but they're just guys.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It does help you those expectation levels. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the cool thing about this is I know, like, for me, it breaks my heart to see this happen. And yet the reality is, like we read a minute ago, that it's when we bring things into the light that God's glory is shown and that he can bring restoration and redemption and healing. And so even in situations like this, and I know that there are people that are hurting because of this, I know that there are, that the church has taken a public image hit because of this type of thing that happens frequently, it seems, that ultimately God is the one that's bringing these things to light, I believe. And he's doing it on purpose because he refuses to have a church that is not honest and true and walking with him. And really, he won't share his glory with another person. And I think that in some of these instances, the glory starts to go to the man. Mm. And God says, okay, well, you want the glory. Let's see where that goes, you know? And for me, it's actually the fact that this kind of comes out and it's shared and it's talked about and it's there. It's not a fun process. It's a painful process, but it's actually a healing process in that it helps us all to reflect on where we're at. It helps God to actually, you know, further his kingdom in a way that he's purifying his bride through it. And ultimately he allowed it and he's bringing it, for good. So, for me, that brings some comfort in the midst of all that.
Yeah.
So, I think the kind of the takeaways for me for with all of this are when leaders fall, one, we shouldn't be shocked in the sense that it shouldn't shake our faith, right? Because our faith was not in them anyways. And the reality is people are people and we're all sinners and we've all fallen short and we all will continue to fall short. Just like 1 John said, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Mm. And then the other one is really to bring our mess into the light, to bring our sinfulness as much as we don't want others to see it, to bring it into the light so we can get healing for it before that disease grows and becomes something that takes over our lives. Mm-hmm. And then I think within that, I think it's also just in the churches that we would have an understanding of the fact that this is what we need. We don't want to pretend like we have it all together. And that's from the pastor down through the parking lot person, down through the person walking through the front doors, just to be real and transparent with each other.
Yeah.
And because that's how we can bear each other's burdens. And really, I believe in these instances so much of the time, it's because these people have allowed themselves to isolate and to cover up and not to be willing to share that burden with somebody else, either from fear or from pride or from whatever it might be. But also really when there's opportunity to not shoot our wounded, right? And to help restore, you know, it says to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness.
Right.
So even for fallen leaders, now that doesn't mean that they don't have consequences to pay, you know, that doesn't mean that they don't have difficulties that they're going to need to go through. There's a process of restoration. It's not just, well, okay, you had an affair last week. Okay, well, let's take 2 weeks off from preaching and then go back to it. That's not how this works. Right. But there is a restoration to the body, that is of the Lord and needs to happen in these instances. And so let's not shoot our wounded, but come alongside and say, okay, well, it's time for you to step out and God's going to do something different.
Yeah. And I would also just want to speak to the person, anybody who might be listening to this, who does have some hidden sin in their life and they're afraid to bring it into the light because of the consequences, like you said, that might be even correct consequences because of that sin, is that whatever those consequences are, that it's not as bad as keeping your sin hidden. That is worse than whatever the consequence may be of bringing your sin to light. And just really want to encourage anybody who's listening to trust the Lord in that those words from 1 John that you read, that you will be more blessed if you bring your sin into the light than if you keep it hidden because you're afraid of the consequences.
Yeah. And I think that's it's so important. That's such a good reminder because we fear the consequences, but the reality is it's in the light that we find healing and restoration. And I've known, I've read articles or I've known people in the past or pastors or leaders who did that and it did cost them everything. Mm-hmm. But then God restored them in a way that was miraculous and amazing through that process. And they on the other side of it say, I'm so glad that I brought it out to the open. Yeah, yeah. All the things that I feared came true. And the reality was it's the best thing that ever could have happened to me.
Amen.
And so, and I know that that's a hard place to come to, but I think just I'd echo what Pastor Paul said and just say, if that's you, recognize that there's no better place to take your sin than into the light and allow God to heal you with that. That doesn't mean you go up and stand up in church and say, I did this last night. That's not what I'm saying. But talk to a trusted friend, talk to a pastor. If you're a pastor and you're listening to this, talk to some of your leadership team, someone that you feel like you can trust and is going to have a godly understanding of this. And let's get those things in the light so that they don't grow and become bigger, uglier beasts than we can handle.
Yeah.
Because the reality is we can't handle it alone and we weren't designed to. So awesome. Well, thank you for tuning in. And I know this was a difficult topic and, you know, something that we don't really want to think about as our leaders falling, but it's so important that we discuss it and examine it from what the Bible has to say and how we're to respond to those things. So thanks, Paul, for being in on the program today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And for my listeners, if you haven't subscribed yet, if you could click that subscribe button, that would be awesome. Would love to have you just get these each week in your inbox. It's just encouragement and talking about some of the hard issues. Also, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, as well as share these podcasts on whatever platforms you might be listening on or tuning in on. So would love that. And have a great day and tune in next week.